Good morning, everybody. So thankful that you're here with us on November 9th, 2015. What an incredible day. Before we were starting our recording this morning, we were just talking about weather. I love fall and autumn, and I love to hear about the change in the seasons and things like that. And we got a really quick cold snap here in Texas. Our cold is nothing like what you're experiencing up north or out east, but I just was so thankful even yesterday while we were getting ready to get out of bed and then also get into the shower, just that we had heat because it was chilly, and we could run downstairs and turn on the furnace and have it get warm. And wherever you're at, I pray the Lord's warming your heart from the inside out and warming you wherever you are. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we just come to you, Lord. We thank you so much for another amazing day. Lord, I pray that you would speak to my mouth of clay. Lord, I don't take this situation and this opportunity lightly. I just thank you and praise you that you allow us to come together, Lord, and that we can meet you and that you meet us exactly where we are. Lord, we just want to just praise you and worship you for who you are, that you love us. And Lord, I know that you tell us that you'll break every chain that binds us, Lord. So I just pray right now in Jesus' name that captives are set free. Lord, whether it's from finances that are holding them captive, if it's mindset, whatever the situation is, Lord, I just command those chains to be broken in Jesus' name. And we declare that we are free because we have the truth. And, Lord, we know that when we have the truth, we are free. So, Father God, we just come before you and we just ask that you would anoint our minds, Lord, that as we listen and as we study your word this morning, that you will touch our hearts in a new way, that our lives will be changed. And, Lord, I pray that you will speak through my mouth of clay, that supernatural recall of your word will come forth, Lord, and help me to be faithful to always be decreasing so that you can be increasing. We love you and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today I want to talk to you about a couple of things that might be a little unexpected, and I'm excited about this because I know that God wants to do something even greater in your life, or you wouldn't be here on the call with us this morning. He promises us good things, and that he tells us even in his word that we wouldn't be able to have anything if it didn't come directly from heaven. So we're just so excited that today God's got something new. He's got a new word, and he's doing a new work in your life. He just wants you to know right now that he's making all things new. He wants to encourage you. He wants you to draw into him, and he wants you to press in because he's got something new and amazing for you. You know, one of the things that I hear all the time is about time. You know, as I coach other people and I train and I work with them, and even in my own life and business, I can tell you there are many days that I just think, oh, if I just had a few more hours, or I could just be a better steward of my time. And that got me thinking and wondering about what really differentiates people. I think, honestly, it's how we spend our time. I think sometimes we look at some people and we think, oh, it's so easy for them, or if they had the struggles I had, they would understand. And we just think that people are so different. But you know what? We have all the same 86,000 seconds in a day. We've got the same 24 hours. That was one thing my mom always used to say. She used to say, you know, you've got the same 24 hours as everyone else. Is this a priority issue? And we would have to reexamine our priorities and look at what we were spending our time on. This got me to thinking, are we using our time well? Well, I know for some of you, over the weekend, you spend a lot of time watching football or watching television. And I'm not saying you can't relax and you can't take downtime. The Lord definitely rested, and he enjoyed himself, and he enjoyed the people around him, and he spent time with them. But he was very mindful that the time was short. Do you use your resources well? Not just your resource of time, but maybe your gifts, your abilities, your talents, your skills. Are you using them and stewarding them to the best of your ability? Let me ask you this. Are you stewarding things for his glory? Now, one of the things I want you to think about, because I know you're probably going to say, well, you know, stewardship, that principle might be seen in the Bible, but I don't know that word is. And I don't find the word in the Bible either. But the concept comes from when there were kings in England and in the UK, which we know now is the UK, and there would be lords over lands and areas. And the neat thing about it is they would own everything. Well, neat for them, I guess. And if it, you were a, if you had a good lord, you wanted to serve him well, but he owned all the land for what would be like multiple counties here in the U.S. And what he would do is he would have, of course, his house would be the nicest. It'd be the castle. And then he would have a, another home close by that was the steward of the area for the lord. And what he, it was his job to kind of manage it and to make sure that it was profitable and that the people were working it well. And then he would provide for you protection and provision. And it was, they would have a culmination and a combination of things so that everyone would be taken care of. Well, we know like Robin Hood and things like that, those stories were because there were lords that were not good lords. But I can tell you our Lord is a good Lord. And he's given us the ability to manage and to take care of every single thing that he's given us. Do you realize you couldn't even breathe? Absolutely couldn't even breathe if it weren't for the Lord. You know, 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's very varied grace. So not only does he give us good things, not only is it that he gives us everything, really, but that we're supposed to take those things that he's given us, and we're supposed to serve other people with it. So what are you doing with your time, your resources, your gifts, your abilities, your business? I know you're thinking, okay, now you're starting to meddle a little bit here, but I'm going to keep going. What about your body? What about your money? What about your home? What about your children? What about God's creation? What are you doing to be a steward? You know, Psalm 24:1 tells us that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. He didn't say some things, he said everything. The world and all its people belong to him. God owns everything. We just manage it for him. You know, one of the things going back to the story about the Lord and the steward is the one thing is the steward was very faithful. And he took care of everything that belonged to the Lord. I honestly believe he probably was a little more diligent about it because he was the one that was managing and wasn't necessarily even the owner. So basically, if, when we're a steward, we're an asset manager. We just kind of take and manage everything that, that the Lord has given us. We're to manage his stuff, but we're supposed to do it for his glory, right? It's not for our own glory. It tells us in 1 Corinthians 4:2, now a person who's put in charge as a manager must be faithful. Now let me ask you this, how faithful have you been with the people on your team? How faithful have you really been with your business? With the gifts and the talents and the resources, maybe the education, maybe the ability to connect and network with other people, how good of a steward have you been? Genesis 1:28 tells us that God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it, reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. So as soon as God had created Adam and Eve and he was ready to like, okay, move on to the next phase, what did he do? He says, all right, now what we want you to do is I want you to be fruitful and multiply. I want you to fill the whole earth. I want you to manage or govern it, and I want you to reign over all of it. Are we doing that? We've got to be faithful. God wants you to give your best. He wants you to do it in every capacity. He wants you to take care of creation. He wants to make sure that you are managing or being a good steward of your children, your family, your relationships. He wants you to do that with your money. Now, I'm not going to go into like, oh, you've got to send your money to me, things like that. That's not what I'm saying here at all. And unfortunately, many times when we start hearing about the word stewardship, instantly that's what we think of if we're in church or been around church or even been around television and televangelists. It's like, okay, they start mentioning stewardship and how you better be a better steward, then pretty soon they're asking for money. I'm not doing that at all. But I am saying that search the Word. Find out what the Word says, because that's how we know how we're supposed to steward. We're supposed to bring our best. Think about even when Jesus was standing in the temple and people were filing by and they were putting money in and they were giving of their money and their overflow, their excess. And he saw, oh, some huge gifts that were given by the religious leaders. And then there was an old woman. And I almost imagine her as if she's bent over, kind of struggling, maybe even walking with a little bit of a cane and maybe a limp. She walks in. She reaches into her purse. It's kind of worn. Nothing new, nothing special. And she takes out two coins. They're very small. And I'm sure that others around were looking and thinking, oh, boy, look at, she's only giving two mites. That's the smallest mite. She's giving less than two pennies. And the Lord asked the disciples around them, and he asked them, who gave the most? Well, of course, everyone thought, well, all the religious leaders, who's, you know, they're dumping in all these expensive gifts. And he said, no, it was the widow that gave the two mites because she gave all she had. Are you giving your life? Are you giving your church? Are you giving your business? Are you giving your community all you have? Are you playing full out 100%, not holding anything back? And let me ask you this, have you surrendered completely to the Lord? What does it even tell us about our bodies? He tells us that the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Are you giving it your best? Are you being a good steward of your health? Are you getting proper nutrition, proper rest, drinking enough water? It tells us in 1 Corinthians 6:20, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. I mean, it's pretty clear. It's not even like it's kind of like vague. It's clear what the Word tells us. He also tells us, talking about your business, Proverbs 16:3, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. He's very, very clear. He's even told us in Deuteronomy 8:18 that he's given us the ability to create wealth. What are you doing with your ability? We're God's asset managers. He's given us so much. It tells us in Deuteronomy 8:3, yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna. I hear a lot, pray for money, pray for finances, pray for business and contracts. And yes, we do want to be faithful. We want to pray for those things. But is God taking you to a time where he's humbled you, maybe letting you go hungry? Like it tells us in Deuteronomy 8:3, it says, but he humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you and to your ancestors. He did it to teach you that people do not live by bread alone. Rather, we live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. If you're wondering why there might seem to be a famine in your life, in your business, in some capacity, maybe it is because he's trying to teach you something. How have you searched the Word and spent quiet time with him, being still and listening to him to ask him, Lord, why are you humbling me? Because God only creates perfectly and abundantly. He wants only good things for you. However, just like a parent is good to their children, sometimes he humbles us to get our attention and draw him closer back to the Word, because that's where all things come from. God's going to tell you and give you the instruction so that you can get his results. He doesn't want it to be a mystery. He doesn't want it to be a secret for you. And he doesn't want to withhold from you by any means. But we've got to surrender. We've got to trust God with everything. Now, I'm not saying all we do is sit and surrender. Oh, Lord, I just keep surrendering it to you. I just keep surrendering it to you, because he tells us that faith without works is dead. He tells us that he's given us the ability to create wealth. He tells us that there's so many different things that we're supposed to be doing in the Word. Are you doing it? Are you faithful? You know, a lot of people think that God wants to take things away from us and restrict us in our freedoms. It couldn't be anything farther than the truth. He gives us the freedom to do what we ought to do, and he gives us the strength and the ability to do it. He opens the way and makes it easy for us. When we're having those times when it seems like we're butting our heads up against the wall, or we've lost our peace inside, take the time to look. Look at your life. Look at your heart. And take time to know the truth. Take time in the Word, because the truth will set you free. Embrace the truth. Embrace his Word in your heart and not just in your head. He's asking you to do exactly what we talked about earlier today. Regardless of what your position, what your place is in the kingdom, he's asking that you serve, that you're a good steward, and you turn over the deed of everything to him, that he's the Lord of it, and he promises to give you so much more in return. Do you know that when we say yes to Jesus, that's when things change? The Lord just doesn't want to be our Savior, our ticket out of hell. He wants to be the Lord of your life. What that means is he wants everything. Now, I promise you, he's only full of love. He's only full of goodness. And he wants to give you so much more. He wants today to be a new day in your life, a new chapter in your life and in your business and in everything that you care about. But he wants you to surrender. And I'm telling you, sometimes it's hard. And so, I've been in this place many times where I thought, I've surrendered everything, Lord. I'm so good. There's nothing left. And I just sit and I worship before him. And wouldn't you know, he'll show me one more thing. And he's not doing it to be mean or to be picky, but he says, what about this? What about your feelings about this? Do you trust me with this? And every time he promises to multiply it, he promises to do so much more with it, but we've got to trust him and surrender. And not just to be the ticket out of hell, but to be in relationship with him so that he can take you to new levels of abundance. When you prove that he truly is the Lord of your life and that you've surrendered everything, every thought, every action, every word, every deed, he'll invite you to manage it. It's so amazing. And he's going to give you new power. He'll give you new strength. He'll give you new resources. But he's going to ask that you do it his way. And when you do it his way, you'll enter into a life of reward and blessing. I want to encourage you to surrender everything and to be a good steward. Matthew 25:14-30 tells us of a story that Jesus told about three servants. And it says, again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants, and he entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. And then he left on his trip. I want to stop for a minute here. Don't look at how many bags of riches, wealth, leadership, influence, position that the Lord has given you. It tells us here that he's going to give it to you according to your ability. The great thing is when we're faithful, he'll give us more, and we'll be able to enhance and expand our ability. But don't compare yourself. Okay, let's keep going on verse 16. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. Then the servant with two bags of silver also went to work and earned two more. But the servant who received the one bag of silver dug a hole in the ground, and he hid the master's money. Now, after a long time, their master returned from his trip, and he called them to give an account of how they had used the money. And the servant to whom he had entrusted the five bags of silver, he came forward. He was excited about it, right? He just came right forward, and he'd kind of been proud of this. And he said, "Master, you gave me five bags of silver to invest, and I've earned five more." Oh, the master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I want to give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." The servant who had received the two bags of silver came forward and said, "Master, you gave me two bags of silver to invest, and I've earned two more." The master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I'm going to give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Then the servant with the one bag of silver came and said, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate, and I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here's your money back." But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant, if you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it." Then he ordered, "Take the money from this servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away." How sad that we may have found ourselves in that similar situation. But the great thing is if we come before the Lord, we live in a time of grace, and the Lord wants to make all things right anew. We just need to repent. We need to surrender. We need to have a new way going forward, and the new way is through Jesus. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you for your love, for your mercy, for the ability to create wealth, to be stewards of all the areas of our life, our businesses. Lord, forgive us for the time that we've ever compared ourselves to others or looked maybe with jealousy on others because they have more than we have or have been gifted more responsibility. Lord, help us to be faithful, good stewards with what you've given us. Lord, we surrender every area of our life, every area of our business. Lord, we surrender the possessions you've given us, even if all the way down to our pets, Lord, any animal, any creature, anything in creation. Lord, we surrender our children to you. We know we have them only for 18 years. Lord, help us to be good stewards. And then we surrender them to you to do what you would have. Lord, help us to be the best stewards possible in every area. Lord, forgive us for the times we haven't tithed or given the gifts that you've just asked us to give. Maybe when we haven't given our best. Lord, help our home to be a place of hospitality, opening it to others, welcoming them in so that they can see your love and light shining through us. Lord, we surrender our body. Help us to be the temple of the Holy Spirit, caring for it in all capacities. Lord, search our hearts. Show us the other areas that we may have been holding back or not trusting you completely, or maybe not managed well or been good stewards well. We ask forgiveness, and we ask that you would give us a new way forward. Thank you for making all things new. Thank you for giving us your truth that sets us free. Thank you for giving us your word, the Bible, so that we know that we've got the instruction manual right there. Thank you that you are a God of love and mercy. Help us not to walk in guilt and condemnation, Lord, but to walk in your freedom and your grace. Help us to be the difference maker in the lives of others. And Lord, you know Rebecca's unspoken prayer request, Lord. We just ask that you would continue to shower grace and love and mercy, bring peace to her heart, joy to her heart. And Lord, we just praise you for her jail ministry, Lord, and that this is a new ministry. So we praise you that you're working in the lives of women and that she's faithful to be a steward to that capacity. Lord, I pray that you'll continue to be with Patty and her job search and her path and direction. You tell us in your word that you will guide us if we'll listen. That you'll tell us to go to the right or go to the left. And Lord, I pray that you will help her to do that. Help her to be a good steward. And Lord, I just pray that you will bring in finances from the north, the south, the east, the west. Whatever is blocking and holding them back, we rebuke it in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just ask that you would continue to help show her how to be a better steward in the area that could be possibly blocking this as well. And Lord, you know that Jean's got an incredible call with the Attorney General in regard to her business and her company. Lord, I just pray that you will help her to be still, to be anxious for nothing, and to trust that you will give her the words to speak according to Jeremiah 1:5, Lord, 1:7. Lord, I pray that you would give her faith, help it to increase, help it to manifest and abound. Lord, I pray a blessing upon each person that's listening to the call. Lord, I praise you and I thank you that this is going to be an extraordinary week. We rebuke the enemy in Jesus' name. We claim healing and going forth. And Lord, you know that Kelly's father's really struggling. Lord, I promise to be very faithful and pray for him and pray for her family. Lord, we ask for a complete and total recovery. And Lord, I just pray that you'll be with her family. They'll be strengthened. They'll be drawn closer to you. That you'll give them a new sweetness in their spirit, a tenderness, a love towards each other, and that your joy will abound and that you'll give her many opportunities and she'll be faithful to share and witness for you. Lord, we love you and we praise you. We thank you that you've given us another week to steward over, another day, another moment. Help us to be faithful in all areas of our life. Thank you for everything, Lord, even the breath that we breathe, the warm sunshine, the heat that we enjoy, the changing of the seasons. Lord, we thank you that you're changing the seasons in our life, in our business, and that all the chains of the enemy are broken. Today's the day of freedom. Thank you for that, and thank you for doing that for us, Jesus. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have an incredible week, everybody. Message me on Facebook if you need anything as far as prayer goes or if there's any other way that I can minister or bless you. Know that we love you, and I'm praying for you each and every day. Thank you so much for this opportunity to minister to you again today. I'll talk with you again next week. Bye, everybody.